there has to be a recognition that the language that's included in the bylaws was arrived at after, I assure you, extensive haggling by many people on both sides, on many sides of the issue. There were, in fact, I think, five drafts, five different sets of language that were proposed in various sections at one time. So the definitions that are there, and the bylaws are not perfect, but the definitions that are there and the terms that are there for a purpose. I fail to see how the telling management, the example that, oh, this is a matter of someone not having maintained a record here or a record there, somehow justifies or explains why we're in this situation. We're in this situation because something that was done ought not to have been done, and it needs to be corrected, period. And I think that's where we should be focusing our energy, on how we get this thing fixed, like yesterday.
Brief point of privilege?
Yes.
When we gave our introductions, I had mentioned that I was a KPFK volunteer and staff member. In the spirit of fair and proper disclosure, I should also mention that I spent a month in a management position at KPFT. This is Terry.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Bob, and I was next on the stack. And I wanted to go back to Anthony and Bonnie and ask a couple things. One is, I know both of you are new to the council, but have you been involved in UPSO before your election?
Well, I was a representative to program council on behalf of UPSO for 2.5 years.
Okay. So
3 years.
Then I assume you could answer the question of, to your knowledge, did the IGM in any way try to communicate with UPSO before she wrote her memo saying there's a problem here, you need to solve it, your council hasn't been active or anything of that nature?
With the caveat that I wasn't on the council,
right.
My impression is no. In fact, Shiram, who was on the council, had been trying to get the IGM's attention and hadn't succeeded. He wanted to continue to call UPSO council meetings and UPSO membership meetings, but as one council member of five, he couldn't do anything on his own.
Okay, and my other question is, do you have any reactions to any of the different comments that you've heard on the call tonight from people in other cities? Either of you, either you, Anthony, or Bonnie.
Bonnie?
Well, I think I would agree with what Serene is saying. I just think that what's happened is highly inappropriate. And if a management really was so concerned or had any concern whatsoever with unpaid staff, there should have been objections or alarm bells that have gone off a long time ago. But we don't get any communication from management until we've held our election. And I also would like to add that Shiram has pointed out that certain individuals on the former UPSO council were refusing to meet. And these were just a few individuals. You can't hold 200 people accountable for what two people refused to do. And as Anthony has pointed out, Shiram has said, and he said before the LSB meeting in the public comment period, that he tried to get the ball rolling and there was no action and he wasn't getting any cooperation from the IGM. So I guess I would say that I pretty much agree with what Serena's been saying, yeah.
Okay, well, I looked at the clock, it's 9:15, so we still have two other items. We have to set our next meeting and then we were going to talk a little bit about the overall kind of focus of this body, and we did promise the new folks that we would kind of restate what our original task was as given us by the committee. So,
yes, Bob, I believe I should just have a word on this matter.
Sure, go right ahead.
And this is Casey, right?
Casey Peters, the National Electric
Supervisor. Yeah, exactly. That's right. You were going to chime in on this whole
We've been wondering where we haven't heard from you for a few
I have been listening intently, as is really the center of the job. Yeah, there's a lot of listening involved. And I must say that regardless of any personal feelings I may have, my position is constrained by the bylaws. And I believe that the bylaws state that an unpaid staff organization must be recognized by the management, and I feel strongly that the timing of this, regardless of the totality of the action, I do feel that the timing is quite unfortunate, and I expressed that to the IGM at KPFA, the idea that this would be done toward the end of the period for qualification is really unfair to all concerned, and not least of all to the election supervisors. It puts us in a very difficult situation. My suggestion to the newly elected people on the EPSO is this, that you take the list that you have recently mailed your ballots to for your internal election and compare it against the list that has been posted at the station by the management of people that they believe will qualify as unpaid staff for the upcoming LSB election. And anybody who's on your list but not on the other list that you feel should qualify, you should submit to the management prior to August 31st, the date of record, and ask that those names be included on the list, the semifinal list to be posted on September 4th. Then have a look at the September 4th list and see if, in comparing it to the list you've recently used for your internal election, if you feel that any challenges should be made as to membership. And you can base it as you wish on the fact that your qualification period prior to the 13th of August was a year long, and then not just the 3 month period for the stations without unpaid staff organizations. Other than that, you know, like I said, I feel like I'm personally constrained by the bylaws, and I have to abide by what the management has decided. But certainly, that does not stop the UPSO from taking whatever steps it feels is appropriate in trying to address the situation.
Anthony or Bonnie, did you have any response or questions?
Well, and I just want to say that this is Bonnie, that it's not just a question of who's on a list and who's not on a list. I mean, in fact, the two lists might be somewhat comparable. But she has de-recognized the unpaid staff organization. So regardless of who's on the list and who's not on the list, the issue is going to be, do we have an unpaid staff organization or don't we?
Well, let me just follow up. My immediate personal concern is about the list of people who qualify as staff voters for the upcoming LSB election. But I would also like to say that regardless of recognition, any sort of organization can exist and function and perhaps strive for recognition or whatever. But the point is that certainly if the, what had been a moribund organization is now breathing life back into itself, then there's nothing to stop you from functioning as a group. But for my purposes, I do need to focus on the list so that we can know who gets staff ballots for the LSB elections and who gets sponsor ballots.
This is Anthony. I would add, I think, kind of in a preliminary comparison of two lists, there are about 110 who are not on the list that management posted. Now, some of them may well be people who are no longer associated with the station. That remains to be seen. This is just the first cut of those numbers.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to leave it there. It's 9:23, and we need to move on to these other two items. So next question, the next item is the setting of our next meeting date. So the Elections Committee, of which we are a working group, meets again tomorrow night, and then after that, the next meeting, one second, I will tell you, and the next meeting after that is, sorry, hold on, I'm pulling up the calendar.
September 24th.
Oh, thank you. What day of the week is that?
Monday.
Okay. All right. So do we want to try for a meeting before the next meeting of the committee? And if so, what date would anyone like to suggest?
First week of September is clear, and the second week is mostly clear.
Okay.
Not including the first, which is... So, since the first is the first of the month and the following 7 days are all clear.
What about the 16th? Because the 9th is sort of like the weekend after Labor Day when we'll all be recovering from having to go to work after that weekend.
It's clear.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Sunday. I'm assuming, how does Sunday night work for you guys?
That's fine.
I do a newscast every other Sunday night.
So, Sunday in September would you be doing your newscast?
I'll be doing the Sunday before Labor Day, and then
the
9th.
16th. Then the 16th. But what about a weekday, which is really my first preference, a weekday evening? Is there any one day that's particularly bad for people?
I can't do it on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay, so what about Wednesday, September 12th?
I need to check KPFK OSB calendar.
Okay. Can you just go to KPFTX?
No, it's not posted there.
No. I'm saying to make sure we're not conflicting with other committees
as
well.
Well, he's going to check his local thing. I'll check the national KPFTX.
Okay, great.
Were there a bunch of other people that came on the call?
Oh, yeah. I guess I did hear a couple of beeps. Is there anyone who has not introduced themselves?
Yeah, we're clear.
I'm responsible for two beeps. I dropped on and off.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry, Terry, what did you say?
Our LSB meeting is in the beginning of the month, I now recall, so we should be clear on the days being proposed.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble pulling up this KPFTX calendar. Can someone else?
Yeah, Wednesday the 12th looks clear. September the
12th
looks clear.
First through the 12th is all clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is everyone on this call available on Wednesday, September 12th? Okay. Or I should say it negatively. No one has a problem with that date. Okay,
okay.
Good. So what time works best? Let me ask the West Coast people. When is the earliest time in the evening that you're free?
All day.
Okay, Anthony and Bonnie.
I can leave work a little bit early, but not before 8 o'clock your time, please.
Sure. Bonnie, is 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so that would be what, 5?
Yeah.
5,
yeah.
5 p.m. our time?
Right.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. So so then we'll make it for Wednesday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. All right? Okay. So the last item, which...
Not the last.
I'm sorry?
Well, I divided it into two items. Work group purpose and then separately how work group should approach.
Right. Well, yeah, I was sort of combining them. But, yeah, you're right. Technically, they're separate. So let's just quickly review the work group purpose. I actually was just looking at the motion today, and I can...
I have it.
Oh, you have it? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. That the committee establish a work group on staff lists to consider both definitions and administration of such lists for the purposes of delegate elections. This working group may include staff guests invited by committee members.
Okay. I could elaborate a little because I brought that motion, and then Terry or anyone else could add. The national election supervisor from last year, Les Radke, had made a series of recommendations after, you know, looking back on his experience as to what needed to be clarified or improved to make sure the definitions were clear, and he wanted to argue for them to be consistent, which would require, and he recognized this would require a bylaws amendment. And anyway, and there were other issues and disagreements along the way last year about the administration of the list. So that was the spirit behind having a group to just look at all these questions and make sure that the unpaid staff who are directly affected by how the questions get resolved have a seat at the table when the discussions were happening. So that was my intent in bringing that motion. Terry or anyone else?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyone else from the committee? Okay. All right. So now we are actually at the time we agreed to end, but why don't we give 5 minutes or let's say 3 minutes for Terry to just kind of introduce what you had in mind with your agenda item about how the work group should approach its task, and then we're just going to have to defer any discussion about it until the next meeting.
But, that'll work.
Yeah. Go ahead. Lay out what your view is.
Okay. Basically, I think we should work from the broad to the specific. As a first step, let's see if we can arrive at a consensus around the central question. Is the work at each specific station so different and unique, or is the principle of local autonomy so sacrosanct that each specific station should have a unique definition of unpaid staff, or does fairness demand that all station areas use the same definition? If the former, then we go in one direction trying to make sense out of the three definitions of staff that exist, and the various terms that are in the bylaws and the agreement. If we want to go towards a same definition, then we should try to develop a definition of staff that's superior to all the ones that exist, each of which has their strong and weak points, and explore methods to get that model definition implemented across the network. In any case, I think we need to identify the basic reasons for the division of the membership into the two membership classes and get a feel for the relative weight to give each of those reasons when they conflict with each other. And in any case, I think we need to see how the definitions work in unusual and borderline cases and judge the fairness of those definitions in those cases and see if we can tune them to better handle the questions that arise when it looks like, again, from one perspective, somebody's staff, and from another, that they should be a listener sponsor. The definitions themselves that exist and that we may agree on are likely to suggest the procedures that might be necessary for implementation and that then should be adopted as policy. But again, I think the very first step is to decide among ourselves if there should be a single definition of Pacifica unpaid staff or not.
Okay, that's it. Okay. Could you email that to the committee?
Yes.
And I'll
put it in
forward.
The, yeah, I'll email it.
Bob, this is Bonnie. Could I ask
a
question of DAI?
Sure. Of course.
What is the rule at DAI for unpaid staff in terms of how many hours they have to put in and in what time frame?
Let me throw that to one of the two representatives of USOC.
And Bob, should I
yeah.
send that to the main list, or is our subsidiary list functioning?
No, we don't have a list yet. So if you send it to me, I'll make sure it gets to
okay.
everyone in the working group. So Marquez or Serene, did you want to answer that?
Marquez, are you there, or shall I?
Yes, I'm trying to get it. If you have it on hand, maybe you can read it, Serene.
Well, I don't have it the text in front of me, but it's essentially 10 hours a month or 20 over 2 months for a period of 4 months. So the average is 10 hours a month. But that is the USOC definition, and that definition itself is protected within, as is yours, protected within the bylaws.
So I'm 10 hours a month or 20 hours in 2 months, and then you said over 4 months. I'm confused.
Right. Meaning for a minimum of 4 months.
So you look at a four-month period, and a person has to work 20 hours?
Well,
over
just,
2 months.
Can I just clarify that the way it's written is to make it clear that you have to have a history of 4 months of working at the station before you're recognized, and then from there it's the 10 hours or the 10 hours in 1 month or 20 hours in the preceding 2 months.
I see. So you have to be recognized for 4 months, and then after 4 months forward, then you calculate the hours.
Right.
Over and above 4 months.
Well, yeah. I guess you could say it that way.
Can you put those hours in the first 4 months or not?
Oh yeah, no. The four months is the point at which you're a member.
Once
you have been there 4 months and done the 10 hours a month, 10 hours a month or 20 hours for 2 months, then you have met the criteria.
What if you did 20 hours in 4 months?
Not enough.
Oh. Okay. So 10 hours a month, basically, is what we're saying.
Right. Or, you know, if you had a month where you did a little bit less, but then the next month you did a little bit more, that's where the 20 hours in 2 months would kick in.
I see. So a person would be putting in, let's say they were there for a year, supposedly they'd be putting in,
roughly about 120 hours.
Okay. A year.
A year.
I see.
So the BAI definition is actually quite similar to the bylaws definition. Because it roughly speaking, it boils down to 10 hours a month in both cases. I mean, there's, you know, variations, but that's...
I see what you mean. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Except, all right.
Okay, we're pretty much at our ending time. Bonnie, did you have any other questions to clarify?
No, that was it.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have anything burning that they need to say, or can we wrap this up?
Carolyn here.
Okay. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I would like then to put on our agenda for next time. Maybe too late for this time, but a very strongly worded recommendation that the management just comply with the PMB resolution, that they keep accurate records. I think that would have solved a lot of our problem this time around.
Okay, we'll put that on the agenda.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, this is Casey.
Yes.
Just want to throw in a reminder to everybody that this Friday is the date of record, and make sure that anybody who intends to be a member it becomes a member by August 31st, that the following Tuesday, September 4th, the lists of unpaid staff should be revised and posted prominently at each station, and that September 15th is the final day for contesting those lists. And finally, I want to urge people who are interested in becoming candidates, or if you know anybody who's interested in being a candidate for the board, to get them to get their candidate packet and start circulating their petition and turn it in a timely manner, and to spend some quality time writing their candidate statement instead of dashing it off at the last minute, as so many have done in the past.
Thank you, Casey.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Casey, and thank you, everyone, for your input on this call, and we'll talk to you again in September.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, good night,
everybody.
Everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bob? Nope, you're gone.